This is your dose of daily market wisdom with master trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is April 2nd, 2020. Nick, Thursday, we're looking at the initial jobless claims from last week. It's striking, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not unexpected. So I think the claims last week were a little over 3 million, and that was a very shocking to the marketplace. But, you know, I kind of expected that today you got 6.6 million. So roughly we're around, 10 million in 2 weeks. But the reality of it is the market already factored that in. You know, when you look at just a virtual shutdown that's going on around the country, I mean, you know, I'm not surprised. I thought it would actually could even be a little bit higher.
Yeah, well, and most companies didn't plan for this. Relate a little anecdote to you. The company my son works for, which is a global company, they've been preparing for the recession since 2018, and they cut budgets to the bone, marketing budgets. Company is still growing 30% year over year, but they're in the job staffing business, and you know they post jobs on websites all over the world. Their economist thought for sure 18 would see recession. So they haven't laid anybody off yet. They've reassigned people. They've cut costs. People are working from their homes now. That cuts their cost of doing business way down because they used to give these kids 3 square meals a day and all sorts of other benefits that they don't have to. But that company really was the exception. I haven't seen any other companies who really prepared other than the maybe some Wall Street entities who saw this coming.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really foresaw, this kind of unemployment take place. But the reality of it is it's here. And, if we can get some kind of some tests out there, some more testing, and you get some kind of relief or antibodies, I think there was an antibody test approved today. These are all positives, and the market with the sell-off now will start to recover a bit. So we'll see how it shakes out. But, I don't think anybody saw unemployment happening this quickly, this rapidly. But it's here, and now we got to move forward, and we'll see how things shape out over the next week or two.
Yeah, they're pretty shocking numbers, but not surprising in light of what's happened. Well, we go back to crude oil, which, my God, it's $20 a barrel, thereabouts, give or take a dollar. And we're seeing, we've seen our first shale oil company go bankrupt. Of course, they gave themselves $15 in bonuses, $15 million in bonuses the day before. That'll get clawed back in the bankruptcy, no doubt. Really, oil kind of tells the story. Oil and copper, they're both in the dumps.
Today you got a huge bounce in crude, though. It's up over $5.50. And yesterday I said on your program, I said when a company goes bankrupt, it's usually a buy signal, right? Mm-hmm. And today you see crude up 27% today. The news is obviously that President Trump has intervened between Russia and Saudi Arabia, and he's going to put an end to the spat between the two. But look at the bounce today. You got just after you hear of a bankruptcy from Whiting Petroleum yesterday.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's usually a good signal that you're probably going to get some kind of a bid in the marketplace. And I remember back in 2008, like it was yesterday, when Bear Stearns collapsed on a Sunday night and they were going to be bought out by J.P. Morgan for $2 a share. I told my membership, "Listen, tomorrow we're going to buy the market," and they thought I was crazy. And we actually bought the S&P and we held it for 2 months, and it went from 1276 all the way up to 1440.
That's
so, whenever you hear that kind of news out there and it's so negative where a company actually files bankruptcy or needs to do restructuring, that's usually a buy signal for the underlying commodity.
Yeah, agreed. And we see it over and over again. You know, one of the most controversial things you said yesterday that got many of you out there scratching your heads, you said the worst is behind us for now, meaning stock market declines. You sticking with that?
I am. I am sticking with it. I said that because I mean it. And I use charts. And if the charts tell me I'm wrong, I'll be the first to come on the program and admit it. But I'm long everything right now. I'm not short. So, and I was short. I had a lot of shorts via put options, and I cleaned up on every single one of them. And now, I'm not looking for the markets to deteriorate because you hear negative news or bad news or some talking head in the media telling you that the markets are going to go lower. When the chart tells me that, I'll make my decision. But right now, like I told you on your program, I said there are equities to buy. I got into the GDX right on your show a couple days ago. Yesterday, I got into silver. I actually closed that position out this morning just a little while ago for over 25%. So, yeah, there are opportunities out here. You just got to weed out all that news and noise that you hear out there and just really just follow the charts.
Yeah, and hey, one thing I'd like to point out is the trades that you've made, they're on your site, documented. We're not just talking about, like, so many newsletter writers create these hypothetical portfolios that do wonderfully in the on the spreadsheet, but in reality, they never live up to it.
Right, and anybody that subscribes to Bullseye Trading at In the Money Stocks, you'll see you get an alert immediately as soon as I take the position, I exit the position. You get a text alert, you get an email alert, everything is there. It's fully transparent, and again, I'm in every single play. So, I always tell people, I say, hey, even if you want to just come over and learn, I mean, we offer tons and tons of, not tons, but a variety of different seminars. I teach you exactly what I'm doing and how I do it. So nothing, is fabricated or made up. You'll see exactly how it's done.
Yeah. And done right. And you called gold. I mean, we talked last week and you said when the GDX, which is the index of large gold miners, when it hits 19, you're in, you're all in. And the interesting thing was we never talked about the analytics of it, the metrics of it. But at that point, the GDX was trading at a 7% discount to its net asset value, meaning that the stocks were worth more dead than alive, pretty much. And that had never been, had never happened before.
Yeah, rarely. that was an incredible, incredible drop. And I was able to pick it up cheap. And, 2 days, we made over 20% on the second half position of that trade.
Yeah, remarkable. Remarkable. And the GDX, the last time I looked at it this morning, and it's up higher. I should mention that gold is up right at this moment on the spot around $17.50, back up over 1600. Looks like 1600 is going to become support for gold now, huh?
Yeah, it does. And gold actually right now is up $36 at 1628. So
Kitco didn't update right now.
And the GDX, which is the gold miners ETF, up 6% today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. And yeah, I'm going to start tracking the GDX when I do my monthly market review with Mickey Fulp. You know, I did it with him yesterday, and oil was down 55%. Both West Texas Intermediate, WTI, and Brent crude, both down 55% in 1 month, which is some kind of, you just know that with the derivatives trading and everything else, that tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars were lost on that one trade alone.
Well, this is what makes a market, though, and that's the one thing that everyone has to realize, that nothing goes down in a straight line, although it sometimes looks like it is, and everything will have a bounce, and nothing goes up in a straight line. Everything will eventually pull back as well. So this is not an up-and-down business. It's an up-down and sideways type business, and you just have to really read these patterns, navigate it, and the charts usually will tell you what you need to know, and if you're wrong, hopefully you're wrong small. Unfortunately, in this environment where you could wake up to 1,000 or 2,000 point declines, sometimes you could get hit that way. But for the most part, the charts will tell you what you need to know.
Yeah, and the Dow is holding well over 20,000. Do you think it's going to do a retest of the lows again, the 19,000 range, or are we kind of past that?
There's certainly a chance of that. We can never, you know, rule it out. But right now, when you look at what the Dow did, we put a low in on the 23rd, and I had sent that out to my membership telling them that around the spring equinox, we want to watch for a bottom. And sure enough, the market did bottom right there. And it actually, we had a triggered low on the 23rd with the new moon. And those are things that I look at very closely. And then we rallied up on the Dow Jones Industrial Average from a low of 18,213 all the way up to around 22,570. So, you know, when you get that kind of advance, you're going to get some pullbacks in there. You know, for the market to pull back like it did yesterday and actually close down around 20,900, I told, you know, my membership last night, that's a victory. You're going to do some backing and fillings. So, you know, well, let's watch the pattern. I think the charts still look constructive. The bigger time frames that I like to use, they're still constructive. Don't panic over it. You know, the news is going to be dire. It's going to be terrible. There's still going to be more negative news coming out. But that's what sways emotion. You know, for me, it's about the mathematics. It's about the patterns that form. It's about the formations. I try not to get emotional.
Hey, and it's such a great point because we always think of the cycles as being affected by the news, being effectively triggered, controlled by the news. But it's really the news that gets triggered by the cycles.
And 100%. The cycles are always forecasting for us. Yes. The news is just an after effect.
Yeah, and the general emotional tenor is an exact response to the cycle. Because if the Dow is going up right now and it was making new highs, we didn't have 10 million people on unemployment, we would have seen spectacular headlines. Everybody would be giddy and happy. Real estate prices going up, blah, blah, blah. But the actual cycle going down is what's triggered the news coverage that everything is negative, right?
Absolutely. And a lot of times you always want to watch, it was John Templeton that first coined this phrase, when everybody's euphoric, you better be careful because that's a toppy signal. And think about it in January, and I talked about this about already, but you had Virgin Galactic Space.
Yeah.
I mean, the stock went from, you know, $5 to 45 or 42. I mean, Tesla, I mean, you know, they don't even make any money. And I mean, the stock went to $968, you know, and then you had all of these other small little biotech companies just going from, you know, $5 to $70. It was ridiculous. It was absurd. It was obnoxious. But that's the market's way of talking to you. I even tweeted out when that was happening. I said, whenever you get a dash for trash and you get all these parabolic charts, that's when you got to go into caution mode. And, you know, as you know, I was already saying that once I got the sell signal on the market, you better really protect yourself. And I played that whole move with put options and, you know, was averaging 25 to 50% per move. And you know, had over 20 trades in there.
Wow, that's pretty remarkable. And it doesn't surprise me in the least, though, based on, you know, having talked to you for 8-9 years now, and it's become a familiar pattern for sure. So, I mean, can we see new highs on the Dow at some point?
Not this year, but we will down the road. We will make new highs. I'm not a market bull. You know that.
Right.
I mean,
you're agnostic.
I've told you about many corrections coming, all the central bank intervention. But yeah, I do believe that, you know, down the road, you might make new, you will, not that you might. I'm going to say right now you will make new highs before the next, you know, major collapse. But this is going to be a bumpy road. This is what the market needed to do, in fact. Now, coronavirus is horrible. I don't want to get into any of that. But the market has to get rid of excesses. Think about it in 07, 08, 09. Yeah. We were flying high. Everybody wanted to own real estate. You had strippers owning 5 houses.
Yeah,
I mean, it was ridiculous, right? It was
the Big
absurd.
Short. Yeah, the Big Short. Yep.
Yeah, and then, you know, what happened? We had a big collapse. And now, you know, everybody felt like they were a genius. I remember all the people telling me, oh, why don't you own SpaceX, or why don't you own this company or that company, Galactic Space? And I just said, this is absurd. They're getting, you know, everybody's a genius again, and they need to get their clock cleaned a little bit. And that's what's happening now. Now everybody's scared. Now everybody's fearful. Now, oh, goodness gracious, oh, I don't want to own anything now. But you got tons of central bank liquidity. You have QE4, in essence, which is QE infinity going on by the central banks. You've got central banks around the world doing the same thing. And then on top of it, you have the U.S. Treasury kind of merging itself in some regards with the central bank.
Yes.
They just did a $2 trillion bailout program. They're about to do another big stimulus program. So if you get the coronavirus under control, that would just automatically send the markets up like a rocket ship.
Yeah, and it's going to get under control, either through just decline in cases, because we see other countries, they hit a peak, it's a bell curve, and then it rapidly decreases. It looks like China might be getting another wave, or they never fully got through the first one, but the number of cases, provisional hospitals, that type of thing, are down. And it looks like we might be seeing it in New York. We definitely have already seen it, by all appearances, in Washington State, which was the first state to really get hit hard by the coronavirus. So it's going to, just like any other cycle, Nick, it's going to run its course, right?
Going to run its course, absolutely. And this vibrates a lot to the 17-year cycle, which happened with SARS in 2003. Mm. That lasted about 14 months in total. So, you know, we probably have seen more fast-track FDA approvals or FDA fast-track for drugs than we've ever seen before. Even today, we have, I believe, FDA-approved a COVID-19 antibody test. I saw that earlier yesterday. You even had British Tobacco come out and say they may have a drug by June that will go into testing. So, you know, who would think you have all of these different entities and companies working on some kind of a remedy this quickly? Johnson & Johnson just the other day stated that September they're going to be in trials at the latest.
Correct,
in September, so maybe even sooner. You know, so you got to stay healthy. You got to, you know, keep yourself somewhat fit, take your vitamins, eat good foods, and, you know, hopefully you can weather the storm. The thing that makes this virus different than others, some people get no effects and some people get dire effects.
Yes.
So, you know, it is definitely, but, you know, I've seen that with the flu as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people get the flu and, you know, you don't think they're going to make it. And a lot of people die from the flu. We don't even talk about that anymore.
Yes.
Roughly 55,000 people a year die from the flu in the United States.
Yeah. And what's scary about the COVID-19 is that it's more contagious, evidently, than the flu. We don't know about mortality rates because we really don't know, have no idea of everyone who's affected by it. But I'll tell you this, like, personal cleanliness in society is going way up on the scale of importance. Everybody's washing their hands. That's going to be result in the future in a decrease in influenza transmission and people's just awareness of it. Like, you know, you get onto the plane next to somebody who's coughing constantly, they're not going to let that person on the plane any longer. And that's probably a good thing, because one person can contaminate many other people.
Well, you know, that's a great point, and I agree 100% with you. And something else that we could add to that is that with these new tests that are out, 5-minute tests, why can't we test every single person that gets on an airplane?
Yeah.
It only takes 5 minutes.
Absolutely. And if they can do this for COVID-19, then they can do it for influenza. Let's you know, because the best way to prevent the spread of any disease that's communicable is to keep the person with the disease or illness out of the general public, even if it's a cold. And probably the test can be refined to the point where they can determine communicability and, you know, infectiousness of it. And, you know, we can really improve public health as a result of this. But nobody ever looks at the bright side of things. Obviously, when people are dying, it's sad. But, you know, in the UK, they came up with this study originally that said 550,000 people would die of COVID-19 in the UK and 2.2 million in the US. Now they revised that to say under 20,000 people in the UK, they didn't say in the US, and that of those 20,000 people, most of them were going to die anyway because of their compromised health, elderly, frail, susceptible to all sorts of disease. So, you know, maybe this will really bring us way further ahead in health and make them start addressing the homeless problem, which is a major threat to everybody's health. We're getting a little off topic here, but, you know, the point is, and I believe well taken, that there's a lot of benefits coming from this, even if you can just diminish the FDA's power to obstruct and prevent valuable new drugs from coming in that you can't necessarily establish efficacy or effect 100%, even though they're not hazardous, maybe something good will come of it.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% there. I agree. And, you know, that's what we have to take away from this, is that hopefully we can create some positives for the future.
Yeah. Really, that's for sure. But in the meantime, you can create some positives for your portfolio. I would suggest that you go over to inthemoneystocks.com, check out the latest offer, check out the free educational materials that are available, extensive, I should add, and connect with Nick. You can just send us an email, kl@carrylutz.com, and we're here. We'll pass it on. We'll talk with Nick about it. Nick, always a pleasure. And we will catch up with you on Friday and sum it all up.
Kerry, thank you very much. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is your dose of daily market wisdom with master trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com.